Thank you for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. International NGO Human Rights Watch today raised concerns that Malaysian authorities have been increasingly responding to criticism of the government by initiating criminal investigations on journalists, activists and even ordinary citizens. Now, there seems to be a steadily narrowing of the boundaries of what can be said without the threat of reprisal. Gayathri Venkateswaran is an assistant professor at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. She joins us now. Good evening, Gayathri. Now, journalists and media organizations have come under increasing pressure recently, and it's not just Al Jazeera, but also Tashni Sukumaran, Busu Lin, Malaysia Kini, and Stephen Gunn, and many others. Now, I'm wondering, what protections, particularly legal protections, do the media have in this country?
Good evening. And, you know, this is really quite a long-standing issue whereby when you ask about legal protections, in fact, our legal framework is one that is designed far more for the punitive measures that can be meted out rather than actual protection. So while we may have the constitution that says, look, there's protection for freedom of expression, but actually our laws don't provide any form of legal protection. And when we talk about the rights of the media to be able to, you know, it's kind of a canary in the mines, right? Like you're giving signs of something that could be the beginnings of a problem, and a state that is interested in accountability would actually use some of the work of the media to sort of like even tell itself what its priorities ought to be. But what has happened is that often journalists, their editors and the outfits that they work with, the outlets that they work with, are left to their own devices to protect themselves. Because these threats can come from anywhere, right? It can come from the state. It can come from non-state actors as well, who use the legal instruments to target the media. So if you have the resources, you may have lawyers that your company can hire for you to defend you. But then there is nothing in between you producing that report, your organization publishing it, and to the point where you're called up for investigation. There is nothing in between that that allows for some kind of dialoguing, checking, you know, sort of debates that can actually even relate to some of the controversies that this report may be bringing on. So there's really no legal protection per se. In fact, what we have, and I think you all are aware as well, that every time that there is a piece of report that's done, you know what is the, or I wouldn't say what is, but what are the sort of Damocles that tend to hang over your shoulder in terms of the laws that can be used.
Guys, during the Pakatan Harapan administration, were there any attempts, successful attempts, to change the balance and reframe the way in which the media works and in fact, institute protections for the media?
So in terms of legal, protection that is legally constructed, no. The only measure we saw was, of course, a repeal of the Anti-Fake News Act, which was definitely problematic. So it sort of removed one of the potential users of the laws. But to say that during that time there were concrete measures that would then turn around some of the existing structures to say, okay, now we will have a much more guaranteed protection for the media in doing their work, the answer is no. But there were definitely initiatives. So, for example, the discussions about the Media Council would take some of these ongoing issues away from the monopoly of the state to deal with and give it to a much more independent body and say, okay, what are the complaints here? What are the issues in terms of ethical conduct or professional conduct? And allow for a much more, industry and civil society-led, multi-stakeholder-led process to discuss, rather than leaving it entirely in the hands of the state. So the discussions began, there was interest in earnest, I would say, with the Media Council, but without the removal of the laws, that wouldn't have also been a successful attempt, I would say.
You know, we've seen statements from civil society NGOs and human rights groups, asking the government to cease these actions. But I'm just wondering, Gaya, is there anything that could dampen the government's zeal in using this strategy?
Interesting. Okay. So I would first say I think statements are important, even though they are only statements, but statements are an expression of a position, a statement of solidarity, a statement to raise the public awareness over these issues, and also to actually introduce some of the principles, right? I mean, why are we defending the journalists? Why are we defending the media outlets? There is actually a basis for this, and we should get as many people to understand that at the same time. But look, you know, I think several moments in our history, we have seen this kind of overzealousness. You asked about the Z, but there's an overzealousness in terms of how to sort of keep control of the narrative. And where there are attempts to chip at that narrative, then, you know, there's a certain sense of insecurity. Now, what is this government afraid of? What are the institutions afraid of? What do they desire in terms of what the political situation is about? I mean, we can make a lot of speculations about that. But I think that, you know, if they are unable to see the value of having a free and independent media, the value of having the freedom of expression, it is counterproductive for the sustainability of the state. It is counterproductive for a vibrant and pluralistic society, right? I mean, you cannot suppress this.
Can I ask you, do you think Malaysians, ordinary Malaysians, want that either? I mean, do they want to see a vibrant society? Or, you know, are they happy with the government's monopoly on information?
It's hard to tell because, you know, we are talking about a society that is both fragmented and also, you know, we can say divisive in some points. But at the same time, you have segments of society that aspire for these values. So it is not that we have one set of values only. And even if we say that there are those in society who agree with the position of the state, now, you can agree with many things, whether they are right or they are wrong. We have to have a much higher standard in terms of what is fair for everyone, what actually contributes towards the development of society as well. You may not like it, you may not like somebody's view, but some of these protections need to be in place because it's okay if you don't agree or if you don't like, but there's no reason to put someone behind bars. We need to agree on some of this. Quite basic standards, really, you know. Mm. So we're not asking for the moon and the sun and whatever. We are actually talking about some very, very fundamental rights at the heart of it.
Well, Gaia, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks. All the time we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night, folks.